look like they're starting to get out of proportion for yearly budget in the departments. Yeah, you used to send us.
I send you GCRs, what I send you. All the GCR departments are there. If I see something, one of the other budgets, I would send it to you. Normally, I send you GCR. And then I think one of you has transfer station, I send that. I think I just send it to the one that's supposed to be in charge of that. One of you has different things like that. I do those on a monthly basis.
Call our meeting back to order. We're ready to work on budget. Anyone have something they want to start with? Rick, you got anything lined out yet or started out? Or?
No, I actually won't start the budget until probably middle of next month. I'll send out things. I did send out the mid-year to everybody, and I actually got at least one of those departments sent me back a request for 2011 budget. But I really didn't intend to get one of those back just as yet. It's just mid-year, and I sent it out a little bit more because of that. I have been looking at ways that we can save money, and where we're at, to give you guys the same information I have. When I look at what we budgeted last year, we actually budgeted about $14.7 million in general county revenue for operating expenses. And keep in mind, I try to keep these budgets, when I talk about them, try to keep talk about them separately. The general county revenue is what I'm talking about right now. In general county revenue, we actually have about $5.9 million in payroll budgeted. If you add on the benefits and things that we have, our cost of employees is about $8 million. So we have $6.7 million that, you know, we can work on cutting other things out of there. Of that, there's some costs that are you can't change them, I don't believe. And one of those is TIF payments. In general county revenue, we spend about $0.9 million in TIF payments. We have judicial bonds, which is $1.4 million, and you can't change those. You got to pay those. So it's about $2.3 million in unchangeables, and that brings you up to about $10.3 million that. So you're left with somewhere in the neighborhood of 3.6 or something like that. And I don't know what you guys are thinking about as far as revenues next year. I hope that we can say, or hope that we can feel like at the end of the year that we can budget, expect a little more revenue than what we did last year. Last year, I think we budgeted 13.5. I don't have that down written down, but it's somewhere in that neighborhood. And I believe that we'll probably do a little better than that unless our sales tax really drops off. The big revenue generators are the sales tax, of course. You have recorder's fees, collector's commissions, and there's a lot of smaller ones in there, but those are the big three right there probably. So that kind of gives you an idea of where we're at. And then again, you need to decide. You guys will probably be telling me that you want to, I mean, I know you want to balance the operating expenses with the revenues. That's what we'd like to do. But if it doesn't look like that's feasible without making some cuts that we don't want to make, then we may want to decide, okay, what would be okay for us to spend out of our reserve, and we'd still be feel like we were moving in the right direction.
Comments?
A few things would be in the reducing expenses. We implemented that early retirement program. I think you also sent some information out regarding the Health Care Reform Act that looks like we can get up to, 80% of that reimbursement of that early retirement fund if we choose to pursue that.
I'm afraid, Jim, I don't know, but as I pursue that more. There's a lot of stipulations with it. I'm afraid that we may have, without having the plan in place before, the likelihood of us getting those funds is pretty slim, I think. Okay. I mean, I was excited about that when I first read it because I thought that really gives us something that at least I had been looking for. I think that there's several employees that would really like to retire but feel like they can't because they can't afford their health insurance.
Right.
And that would have given us a tool that we could have used to help them a lot. But I don't think that it's going to work out like I was hoping it would.
I know whenever I make these comments, I'll probably get a lot of hate mail, so I'll be as ginger as possible. But there was a couple, they're in the GCR, and primarily it looks like we're trying to balance the budget within GCR. I think looks like Road and Bridge will come out pretty close to, we'll have to see how it is in December, but with the cuts we took this year, I guess late last year, it appears that Road and Bridge is going to be somewhere safe.
Looks like their cash flow is positive right now, and unless they do something very different than what they've done before, I'd say that they're probably going to be in that.
They'll be fine in that area. So, you know, I've met with Jimmy Russell. I've met with Jeff Merrill, looking for areas in the GCR area just to see where we can cut, because either we cut expenses or raise revenues. And we're pursuing, or I should say Jimmy and Jeff are pursuing helping wherever they can to try to get some federal prisoners, because obviously we have some vacant beds. The second pod's been open for a while now, so we're paying full salaries for the second pod of the jail, but we don't have capacity. So we have room there for more revenue. One area that I've in talking to some other counties officials when I was at my annual conference was the consolidation of some departments possibly in GCR. One area specifically was, and hear me out when I say this, possibly consolidating 911, some of the functions of 911, which is also done, they also do our phone support. You know, the 911 currently has two people, but they also do some of the phone support. As we know, phones and technology are all melding together. There may be some areas that we can consolidate some departments there that may be able to save some money. So I wanted to throw that out to Rick.
I think that sounds like a good idea. You're going to have to deal with that 911 board and make sure that you make them happy.
And
with
certain functions.
Something
I mean,
we could do, yes.
Some functions you can't touch with the 911 board, and I understand that. But from the other duties that the 911, like Tammy does, she also does phones, she also does some other things that kind of overlay a lot with the IT. Maybe we can consolidate something there. Not so much eliminating a position, but possibly picking up enough productivity that we don't have to hire a position down in IT. So, because IT right now, we're growing at a pretty fast rate from a technology perspective, but we haven't staffed accordingly over the multiple years. I sat through a session where 3.5% of the county's budget is on average spent in IT, and they make up 3.5% of the personnel of a county's, you know, when I say a county's operating, it'd be outside Road and Bridge, a special tax and all that. So I haven't had a chance to analyze all that from last week when I gathered that, but consolidation is an area that I want to look at. And of course, the attrition, once again, you know, there's a couple departments that mentioned they may have some people retiring at the end of the year, and, you know, as difficult as it is, they said they might be able to work without those positions. One question I had for you, based off of what I understand from last year, we were about $1.3 million shortfall in the revenues to expenses from the GCR side. Is that
Jim,
correct?
You got your budget in front of you. I don't have it in front of me because I didn't put it in this machine. But look on the page, it's totals, and down at the bottom you'll have expenses and revenues. And I think it was like $1.6
million. It may be.
Yeah. I'm hoping that we won't be.
$1.692.
Yeah. So I'm hoping it won't be that much, but that is what we budgeted for, actually.
And that's nothing new. I mean, basically, we can attribute that right to the judicial facility opening.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
right. Well, you know, right off the top, we got $1.4 million in bond payments we didn't have before this year.
Right. So, I mean, the judicial facility has been a very costly, plus the headcount we've had with a lot of people.
Plus the headcount, plus, you know, in maintenance, we had lots of maintenance issues down there.
I did talk to another commissioner, we all know, Cherry Warren over in Berry County, and they built a new judicial facility a couple years ago, and they looked at adding headcount or hiring a cleaning service. And they were able to cost save the cleaning service versus the headcount.
What I did bring in was a list of possibilities.
Right.
And one of the first things I have is we need to look into what our cleaning and maintenance costs are, see if it's possible we might save money by outsourcing that.
They saw money. They buy their own supplies, so they still control the expenses. But I guess what my hope is in this discussion that we have today is areas that we need to all give direction to Rick, or we all take personally individual areas that we're going to have to look to cut. Because it comes down to, you know, I know Danny's made some comments earlier about you want to run a balanced budget. 1.6 million is very difficult. It's aggressive. I'm not saying it's impossible, but that's very, very aggressive to shave that much out of our discretionary spending to get us there.
And there may be other things we can outsource too, Jim. I'm glad you're looking at that, because that's one of the things I thought. I don't know what's possible, what's not, but sometimes, you know, that's something we got to look at and see if it's a cost savings to us.
Right.
Let me just read off the rest of my list. I don't want to say this because I'll probably get hate mail too, but, you know, employees may have to pick up part of the benefits. That's industry-wide standard is that, and I don't want to see that because I'll have to pick it up too. I don't want to see that, but it's as if you're asking about balancing budget, that's something you have to look at, I think. We need to encourage more of them to be involved in the pre-tax programs, because that pre-tax actually saves us money.
Right.
And, you know, we've been trying to do that, but maybe we can do a better job and cut some more of those Social Security taxes, because that's a big deal there if we can get them in pre-tax there. Show them the advantages to that, because it helps them and us. We can limit dues and conference meetings. Mm-hmm. That's something that we'll have to look at if you want to do that. The transfer station could be turned into a lease situation, possibly. Mm-hmm. If it was turned into a lease situation and we felt comfortable with that lease contract, then I could see you bringing that money back into general county revenue also. And that's something we need to look at. We want to continue to work on reducing utility costs, and I think that you guys have been working on that. I appreciate that. But I think that we need to maybe look at what it really costs us to open the courthouse. It's possible we may want to go to a shorter workday, maybe go to a shorter work week. I know that there are some different counties, and one of those I know is at least a second-class county that actually works on a four-day work week.
Right.
If it would save us money, we need to look at that. There's some things that you can look at that way. I also put on here that I know there are people in the courthouse that would probably like to have a little more time off than what they have. And if they're on a production-type thing, if there's certain things they have to get done, and you could allow them to maybe be salaried but not exempt. You have to understand, we can't exempt them just because we want to, but we can salary them and then allow them to pay the salary that we're actually paying now and in lieu of a raise next year. Maybe that would be something that would allow you to keep some employees really happy by doing that. And I don't know how that would work out. You'd have to look at all the logistics of it. And then Jimmy also brought up the other day that we're looking at the vehicle maintenance and the oil changes in particular in his office. He thinks maybe that we can maybe not change the oil quite as often, save some money there, and still get good maintenance.
And since we're just, I'll tell you some other areas I looked. I looked at the fuel costs. We have some challenges with, I think it's labeled as evaporation or bad pumps. And, there's a certain point where you're not saving any money with having our own fuel on site. So I started looking through those. It's a very difficult task.
It is, and it's hard to determine what is and what isn't. When I first looked at that, and I maybe not got into it as deep as you did, but I was concerned because it looked to me like we were having people take gas. And I called two or three of them, William Cummings, and two or three of the other local station owners around here, and they said, no, it's not unusual at all to have at least 10% evaporation.
Right. But at a gas station, we don't pay it.
Yeah.
When we own it, we pay for the evaporation. Mm-hmm. So.
So it's something you got to think about.
Right. But utilities, biggest thing on utilities, and just to go back to that, our utility bills, we'll probably run it's about $275,000 to $300,000 this year. We know that we're going to hit a rate increase of 20%, I think, is what we've been notified. Is that correct?
I hadn't heard that, so I don't know.
I think that got approved. So add 20% to that number. So our expenses are going to go up when it comes to utilities next year, so we've got to do something at least to offset that. Mm-hmm. So once again, I don't think there's one, so to speak, silver bullet that's going to fix the whole problem. It's going to be every area taking little cuts here and there. And
I will say I've had several of the elected officials, department heads come in and say, well, I think we could save money here. And it may, even though it's a small amount, I really appreciate them bringing their ideas to me. I think that's it's helpful. The more people we have thinking about it, the more likely we are to reach our goal.
Well, I know Jim made the comment there, and I visited with him before he was even elected, whenever he decided to run, and we were operating on a deficit spending situation for a couple of years. So I would, if we've got a 1.6, I'd like to at least strive to cut that in half this year, and hopefully we could cut it to the point to where we could get it down to where next year it would be more than manageable. I mean, it's just not good business practice to run, spend more than you're taking in, because I don't care how big a nest egg you got, if you're in private business or our county dollars, which we're responsible for to the citizens for, I'd like to see a balanced budget. And as he said, and we talked about this, and I sure would like to pursue that as much as possible. Like you said, last year we took some tough hits on road and bridge, but I think that we'll see that when it's all figured up this year, I think you'll see that it paid off to reach the balanced budget part on road and bridge, and I'd like to try to pursue this, and it's going to take a lot of cooperation from the office holders.
For sure.
I mean, they're going to be the biggest ones to help us out here. And
guys, I never asked this question before, but in Road and Bridge, I had been told by maybe this commission, maybe a different commission, that we really wanted to try to keep the balance at $5 million because they thought, we ought to have that kind of reserve just in case a bridge goes out or something, spend that kind of money. What kind of reserve do we want to keep in GCR minimum? I mean, if you said, hey, I don't want to go below this amount here, if you give me that number, that will help me too, if you have an idea. And I don't expect it right now, but think about that and see, what do you think would be an appropriate minimum dollar reserve to keep there?
Do we want to think about that, though, or do we want to think about trying to balance it and see where the...
I think we want to do both. I think we want to try to balance it for sure, but I think that you need to just... From my standpoint, I try to look long-term, not just one year at a time. And because I'm thinking long-term like that, I need to know, okay, where is it? We've got to have it turned around and go the other way. That's what I mean, yeah.
And where is the bottom? Mm-hmm. I tell you, if we can think about trying to balance it and then look at it as to what the final numbers would be, that's the way I would like to look at it. I'd like to consider what the bottom is whenever we try to balance it this year. Because I think everybody is hopeful, and things have, in this area, we're very fortunate that things are in better position than a lot of our fellow commissioners in other counties are, suffering 20% revenue loss. And so we have the responsibility with our revenue sources to try to balance this budget. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And like I said, if it's 1.6, if we can reach half of that this year, and I'd like to go deeper, but if we can reach half of it this year, just keep in mind that we're going to take the other half off next year. Well, that's...
And the reality is our revenues are down. I mean, our revenues, I think we're projecting $6.5 million this year. I think we're on pace to do a little bit better than that. But even as recent as, '07, we were in the $7 million number. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if we can cut into half of that, when the economy turns around, which some experts are saying 2 more years, we may be at a balanced budget just when the economy comes out of this. Mm-hmm. You know, but I think, when I was looking at some things like that, we were about $700,000 to $800,000 where we needed to cut because we had extra expenses and not due to the economy, which would be the judicial facility, the extra headcount that we hired for maintenance and for deputies and bailiffs and all that, part of the prosecuting attorney and some of the extra staffing that we did there. So I think, Danny, your $700,000 to $800,000 basically is what we're looking to cut. If we can shave that out. Now, one thing I will throw out, and we've had conversations with the IT, with Gary Morgan, which is we have to consider raises. And just when I say consider, we have to have a discussion about raises because at a certain point, we're going to start losing quality employees because we're not keeping pace with everybody else. I mean, we already underpay some departments. Unfortunately, that City of Branson study proved some departments that are really upside down. But I just want to make sure that we have a discussion about raises. I mean, they didn't get raises last year. And I'm not saying that that is a definite, but what I'd say is there'll be a certain point where we won't be able to retain our employees because we're not keeping pace with cost of living expenses and things like that. So I just want to throw that on the table. Not so much we have a discussion now, but that's something that we probably just need to have a conversation about.
And Jim, that's one of the reasons I put in there that one little thing about, there are some people I think that you could make happier mm-hmm. employees and they would still provide us with the same production if we could say, we don't care whether you keep a timesheet or not. We want you to be salaried. You need to keep a timesheet in case you have overtime because mm-hmm. we have to pay you for overtime. You're not exempt. But if you get your job done in 34, 35 hours, the other 5 hours are yours.
Right.
And I think that might allow you to offset some raises there. But I agree with you. I think when you look at that.
We just need to look at it. We just need to have a conversation about it and not make a decision at the very end about that.
I think early on. As I looked at that, it looks to me like you're talking about a 6% reduction across the board if you're going to do that. And that, when I say across the board, that would mean
everything.
Salaries and everything. And there are some things that we just can't cut. I mean, I go back and look. Like I said, we've got $2.3 million, so I didn't figure that in. You might want to figure that in. We cannot. There's no way we can say we're not gonna pay as much TIF taxes out. If we collect that much, it's got to go out. That bond payment, $1.4 million, has got to go out.
Right.
I'm sure there are some other ones that we can't cut them. So you're probably talking, if you take those out of there and refigure that, you're probably talking maybe as much as 10%. Not just like last year, we sent out 10% and don't worry about payroll. But this would be a 10% including payroll if you were to do that, and then they could make their decision wherever. But that doesn't sound pretty when you talk about it that way.
No. I mean, I know some, like Danny, you were saying, some counties. I mean, I've talked to a lot of county commissioners throughout the state, and I mean, one had to borrow money just to get through the budget year this year. I mean, that's how bad it got for them. I mean, thank goodness we're in a situation where we're not talking about cutting services. We're talking about just tightening the belt. And that's part of my discussion is I don't want to think about cutting services. I mean, that's not what I want to do. So,
no, we just really want to get more efficient if at all possible.
Right.
Let's talk some more about our balances. You mentioned $5 million. The number I remember is $4 million in Road and Bridge, and that figure came from Dan Ratterman. We had a visit. We asked him, "What do you feel like?" And he's the one that came up with that number. And I don't remember what his facts were to come up with that number, but he thought $4 million, in case we had some bad road problem, a bridge washout, or something like that. And we started out with $10 million in GCR. That's what I'm seeing here this year.
Somewhere around there. Again, I don't have those in front of me, so I don't memorize them. If I did, it'd be by accident for sure.
Of course, that figure up to building the jail without being spelled out was the monies we thought we were saving, so to speak, to build the jail with. And, you know, I think we need to have some kind of a plan what our balance is for, besides just being a rainy day balance if something goes bad wrong. Where I'm going is, for instance, general county revenue, $10 million. How do we come up with a number for general county revenue that we want as our balance? And the next part is that if it's $10 million, then we're right there already.
Oh, we're below that right now. We spent more than we took in this year.
But if it's not, then if we're maintaining money, a lot of money, more than what we're keeping a balance of, then we either need to have a plan for those dollars, like we did with the jail, or we need to think about taking any more tax money than we need.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you, Chuck, and I feel like that's one of the reasons I kind of asked that question, because I don't know. To me,
how do we find that? Yeah. How do we get that answer?
And let me give you some of the things that I would think you should consider, and then you can do whatever you want to. But to me, the first thing to consider is you do have a bond payment that is due for how many years now? And you
20-something, yeah.
Yeah, we need to keep enough in the, that reserve fund that if something happens that we needed to make that payment out of that reserve fund, it's there. So I would, you know, how many years, maybe 1 year, maybe 2 years, but you need to figure that. That's one of the first things I figure. Secondly, I feel like that you need to have some money there as just a rainy day. And that may be a small amount. It may be as low as maybe even $2 million for just a rainy day fund. But I think you need to have some there. If you don't, you know, not really doing a good job of watching it. The third thing I would say is that I think always we have citizens out there that are looking to improve the county as a place to live. And I have people come to me and say, you know, do you think the county could afford to do this? And I think, man, that's really a good idea. Or I may not think it's a good idea at all, but you guys might think it's a good idea. And how much do we need to have just in case somebody comes up with an idea that is great for the county? You know, example, I have people talking to me about the fair board right now, and you guys know they're looking at some properties, I think. They can't afford to buy those properties on their own, but that would be a very, very good addition to Taney County, I believe. So, you know, if we don't have some money there that we can use for something like that, so you need to have a little bit there. So you total those all up, and you can get an idea of what you really feel like would be a good fund balance to shoot as a minimum.
Clarification: the fund balance as of the end of June for GCR is $9,162,000. That's where we are right now.
Is that what we expected?
We're pretty much on track as how we budgeted. Yes,
we thought we would eat into our fund balance by $1.7 million, mm-hmm. $1.692 million. So we expected almost a $1.7 million. That's what our deficit spending was.
Yeah, and actually we have usually have a better second half of the year with sales tax than we do the first half, so it's hard to really gauge, but no, I think we're pretty much on track when you look at those budgets.
But if I'm saying, okay, our bond payment is 1.4, rainy day is 2 million, if we said 2 million in projects, that's 7 million right there. I'm just throwing rough numbers out here, but if we cut $800,000 out of the budget, we're still $800,000 we're going to spend no matter what. So at the end of, I mean, we're at 7.8 to 8 million.
At the end of 2011.
And we really haven't done anything except cut our deficit in half. And that gives us about $1 million leeway in there. Hmm. If I'm doing my math real quickly, correct in my head. So, I mean,
That's the
$7 million is not a far off number from a rainy day fund, so I can justify two years of bond payments, things like that. But anyway, just
Jim, if just as we talked, if we had to come up with $500 to $1 million in a fairgrounds park facility. You know, if the deal come along, that's where I feel that the extra funds need to be available. I just got a deal on the email here about the thoughts of contribution to a museum or something that came across the phone. So there's things that that would come along that might be of great interest to the citizens, but we need to be able to consider all the facets of county government and to try to improve county government for the citizens. The tax issues, if we don't, and you've heard me bring this up time and time again, if we don't supply a service, especially like road and bridge, but you can apply it to GCR also, if we don't supply a service whenever people go to the polls to vote on a 10-year road and bridge deal, and we haven't taken in roads or we haven't done this or that, it would put us in an awful pinch if we come up even with a close vote. If it passed and we had a close vote, and you'd have to go to scratching your head and saying, 10 years down the road, this may not pass, you know. So those are kind of things that I look at as far as service to the citizens is the fact that we try to balance our budget and still keep a healthy reserve to furnish additional services to the people. And if, now, perfect example of what we did last year was Road and Bridge come in with that $2.5 million budget, and we trimmed the heck out of it and you know, got it down to, five or $600,000 over or something like that. So,
and then we actually balanced it at the end of the year with the personnel reduction.
So those things, you know, are the way that I want to look. I want to look at it as trying to balance it. And then, like I said, if we can get it to the point where we can consider half this year and half next year, I'd be happy with that, because
you and I see it about the same way, I think, Dan.
Yeah. Because we're taking a big bite out. I don't know how we could take 1.6 out without
really cutting
into services.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to follow up with just the parks thing. I mean, as soon as we can identify the property, there's lots of grants out there through USDA. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, but still the point is we may have to front the money and have it available, and then we get reimbursed. So, I mean, this, we've got to have a fund balance just to be able to do things like that.
Yeah.
So
everything seems to be cost share or matching funds now. So,
what's from a timing perspective? And I know we're trying to jump it around here, but let me ask you a question, Rick. Traditionally, you come to us around October.
Actually, I think the statutes say that they have to have their first requests back into me by September 30th.
Okay.
And there's actually a 10-day leeway period where before I write that budget for them. And Jim, don't hold me to that because that's memory again, but I'm pretty sure that's right. So I usually send them out last August, 1st of September, and I usually get most of those back in well before the 30th, and okay, almost all of them by the 30th. Once in a while, I have to write one, but not very often.
That's what I said. They've been cooperative in doing that, haven't they?
Most of them are doing a real good job.
With that in mind, what information, I mean, we've talked about a bunch of things just in this little 35 minutes. What things do you need from the commission?
You know what? You've helped me a lot, because I will probably, you know, write a little letter saying, look, the commission would really like to balance the budget, but they're aware that that may not be something they can do. That means we're probably going to have to trim. And right now we actually spent in, you know, just explain to them what we've talked about today, that we have spent or expect to spend by the end of the year 1.6, 1.7 million more than we took in. Next year we would like to be much closer, if not even. And that means that we're talking probably in the neighborhood of 8% cut all the way through. And, you know, of course, we don't want to cut payroll, so you need to look at that and see what that would do in your department.
8%. Okay.
And then let them get back to me with ideas. and requests, and you know, they, some of them will, I think for the most part, almost all of our elected officials and department heads really try to be as frugal as I am, and I know that's hard to, you know, some people call me worse than frugal, but I think that they're going to do their best to get that as close as they can. And then we can go from there.
Yeah, there's a few departments have made comment that they got some people going to be retiring at the end of the year. They haven't filed any paperwork yet, but they're, the department head and or the elected official said, we're just not going to rehire that position. So if we, if that happens, that will help us get to that 6 to 8% cut,
mm-hmm.
with really, you know.
And I know of at least two of those that have come into my department and talked to me, and I know three. I know three that have come in and said that. I'm not sure that one of those is not in another, they're not in GCR. But
and that would help if the elected officials could give us some heads up or give you a heads up of how many people they think they're going to have at the end of the year. I mean, earlier today, the public administrator requested a part-time person because of their workload. I don't have my notes in front of me, but there's certain departments that the workload is actually increasing disproportionate to, you know, and so we've got to look at those. Mm-hmm. That'd be one thing that would help us, because obviously.
And maybe even in those departments, Jim, we're going to have to look at, okay, is there some way we can make it more efficient without hiring more people?
Right.
You know, there's a lot of departments that are doing a lot more work than what they ever did before, but they're just become more efficient at it, I think.
And we've got some experiments going on right now, the paperless, the document.
Brenda told me she was working with several people in the circuit clerk over there.
We've got a lot of paperless. We've got Brenda Neal. We have Jeff Merrill going paperless in his office, hoping to reduce headcount or through attrition. We've got our experiments right now with DocuWare within the GCR. So we should see some technology benefits from that as soon as we roll that out into a bigger scope.
In my office, we're still working on trying to get all the accounts payable into a paperless, but then I'm not sure that the clerk won't feel like she needs to keep those because of the statute. So sometimes we're kind of limited because of what the statutes do to us. It's
right.
not something we can just step up and do. We've got to maybe talk to those people in Jeff City and get them to change statutes, give us a little more leeway to do our job
right.
more efficiently.
What else? I think that, from my perspective, sir, that's all the questions or comments I had at this point.
The 1st of August, I'll send out another report to all officials, but I probably won't request anything from them until the 1st of September. But, you know, anybody's listening now, if you have ideas, you know, give it to me, give it to the commissioners. We appreciate those.
So are we comfortable with the message of 8%, 6%, what do we want to leave here?
I'd like to see 8. That's my personal.
I can do whatever you guys tell me to. I'm comfortable with that if you're asking me.
How about you guys? It's significant. Any way you look at it, it's significant.
That's
cuts.
Big cuts.
To avoid that question a minute, let's go back to your conversations with our sheriff and and Jeff on getting prisoners. Because if I understood what you said, if we had prisoners, we'd have a whole different situation.
Our expenses are fixed at this point. With the second pot opening, it's not going to cost us any more to have 5 prisoners or 15 or 24 prisoners, because we already are staffed accordingly. Now, what we don't want is any more state prisoners. And they just did a statute that Class C and Class D felons are now going to be coming down to us, and it makes it worse on us because they don't even reimburse us for medical.
But they don't pay us much a day either.
We lose money on that,
yeah.
But what we're specifically talking about is if we can attract at the proper levels federal prisoners, they pay us that $75 a prisoner, whereas the state pays us $19. It's $19.58. So we actually can make money. I hate to say make money, but there was even a conversation I heard from
We can really pay our expenses. We can really pay our expenses.
We can cover our expenses, but one of the elected officials today who thought about sending a letter to all the judicial, all the federal people and say, we'll undercut your federal rate. Just send it to us. So I don't know if he's going to do that or not, but that's who we have to attract. We don't want any more state prisoners because we just lose more money in volume. And so what we've got to do is limit that as best we can. But since the second pod's open, there is no additional expenses or very limited because it's already open.
Jim, how many is in?
Each pod holds 100 and what?
I know, but how many is in the second pod now that they've reopened?
They've balanced them out of what they've done, the workload-wise.
Oh,
they had a, what, it was 120 per pod? 100,
I thought it was 110, but I'm making
110
wrong.
Per pod. So I think what they did was when they reached a consistent over 110, I think, I mean, Jimmy wouldn't obviously know, but I think it was like 60 and 60 now, or 70 and 65 and 65. We don't have a lot more than 120, probably 120, 130, something like that on average. I know Jimmy's talked to the city of Branson about...
It's been really fluctuating.
It does.
I can remember, didn't it get down to 70 or something mm-hmm. like that? So it's hard to judge that.
But the biggest push has got to be for federal prisoners. Otherwise, it costs us, we actually lose more money faster.
Well, that's been on the table since we opened. Is there something new Jimmy's thinking?
Jeff Merrill actually sent Jimmy and Carbon me on some contact information. And I also made contact with an attorney in Springfield who gave me a name in Kansas City. Evidently, what I'm being told, and I haven't verified this, but the federal judges at both districts have the final say of where the prisoners are. So you got to make an appeal to those judges or those offices, and one's in Kansas City and one's in St. Louis, I believe, is where the federal courts are for our area. So we've got contact information for those people now, which we didn't have before. And kind of, I would say, follow-up is that we understand the process a little bit more than we did even 6 months ago. It's definitely not what we, you know, basically going back through old meeting minutes and all that, we just didn't know we didn't know all the steps and all the hidden processes to get federal prisoners. We are certified. We've done everything we're supposed to do, but that did not automatically mean we got federal prisoners. Prisoners, excuse me. So we've got some new context, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yep.
All right. Well, that would be a godsend if we could get hooked up there.
Yeah.
You got a comment there, Donna?
Well, budget comment. I'm afraid I came in at the last minute on the budget. Were you asking for an additional 8% over last year's 5%?
Yes.
So for those of us who did the 5% and possibly others who may not have, will you be asking them for an even larger increase?
I answered the hard question.
I love the hard question.
That was just as hard as
I think it was too.
It might be something to think about because some of us did cooperate last year and now you're going to ask for another 8% over last year's 5%. So, thought I'd bring that to your attention.
Good question.
You want me to comment on that? Mm-mm. You wouldn't like it if I did.
But I think the message is... Well, the message, I think, is the commission saying 6 to 8, or are we saying 8?
Yep. That's what I'm saying.
8?
6 is fine. And
we'll see what
happens. See where they can get.
I didn't follow all those numbers. Are we good on those before we throw a number out? And I guess that's why I asked the question earlier. Is
Chuck, as we begin,
looking at our revenues being... Are we going to, at this point, we're guessing revenues might be even with last year? Is that a fair guess?
My best guess is I don't see us our sales tax turn around a lot in the next year. I suspect it's going to be about the same, and I would feel comfortable with the same. Okay. Recorder's fees, I don't know. I haven't had a chance to talk to Robert Dixon, but I would guess that he's going to probably tell me that, yeah, I think probably you're going to stay close. I talked to Sheila this morning, and, you know, we really won't have a good feel for that until after the tax sale. After the tax sale, she said she could give me a good idea of whether or not she thought that they would be the same, more or less, next year. But those are the big three, and when we get close, I'll figure all those other ones, and you guys are going to look at those and tell me, no, change this, no, change that, whatever, and either up or down. But I really feel like we're looking at about the same amount of revenue next year as we have this year, unless there's something like we talked about that we do begin to get federal prisoners, then I'll see that that would change. Do you see any? Do you know of anything else that might cause that to change?
Can't think of anything right off. Humor me. Go through that again. Then how we're determining that 8%.
Well, to begin with, I talked.
Just doing that just now.
Yeah, we plan to spend about $1.7 million more than what we bring in this year. Okay.
Okay.
And Danny said you'd like to see half of that taken off there, so that really puts you down to 0.85 million that you want to cut.
So in real numbers, 13.5 is what we're expecting or projecting to see in 2010, and then add an extra 1.7 because of our deficit spending. That gets us right to 15.2 million. Okay. Well, 8% of 15. If we're going to cut 800,000 out of that 15.2 million, okay, is what we're trying to look at is $800,000. Well, 10% would be 1.5 million. So we need to be at least at 6% to get to half of the deficit spending.
Okay.
And the reason I said...
And if I'm wrong, Rick, tell me that, because that's how it is in my head.
That's pretty much what I did, too. Okay. Just using round numbers. And the reason I probably put 8% in there is because I'm telling you, there's some things that we can't change. Remember I said you can't change the TIF payments. You can't change the judicial bond payments. So 6%... was at least, and I said
across the board, which we can't.
If you're going to really cut it to that, you're probably going to have to say, "Hey, we need 8% from those things that we really can cut." Does that make any sense? So it's round numbers. It really is. But that's the way we figured it right there.
Well, you said the bond was 1.4, and the TIF is 0.9. Mm-hmm. That reminded me of another question I had when we were talking earlier. How's our TIF? Our TIF payment's going up a little bit, I guess.
Yes, Chuck, and there's the only thing we can say is that there has to be some of what we call cannibalism happening for that to really be the case, because we know our total sales tax is not going up. Can we do anything about it? Don't know that we can.
No, we can't do anything about it except plan for it, and that's my question, I guess. Have we given that a good look as a TIF?
At this point, I haven't looked at it closely, but I will look at it closer. And I don't think it will change a whole lot unless there's a lot of additional things as far as construction goes on. And I didn't know of anything happening besides, I don't see them moving a lot of the taxable spending from outside the TIF areas into the TIF areas without some construction going on.
Okay, so the word that's going to float out of here today is down to 6%?
6 to 8.
I think we need to put 8, because if we took that $15 million of all the things that are expenses, and we took out the TIF, the bond, and all that, to get to that $800,000 cut that we're trying to get, it's really going to be 8% cut, because there's certain things that we just can't adjust. At this point, I think 8% is a good round number. It could fluctuate down to 7% toward the end of the year, once we start analyzing things, but until we see if people are going to retire, if some elected officials say, hey, I'm going to have a headcount that I'm not going to backfill, I think 8% is the only way to get there, because we know the TIF and the bond payment are, what, $3 million?
2.3.
2.3 for the TIF?
The TIF payment's 0.9 and the bond payment's 1.4, 2.3 total.
Okay. So I think the message is going to have to be 8%, because I know at 6% we're not going to get there. I know that. So it's going to be close to that.
If you ask for 8% and you come back in here and find out that you didn't need to cut that much, it probably won't make a person mad one if you add back into their budget, I don't think, you know. So that'd be the good thing about it.
I mean, but just like our utilities, they're going to go up by 20%. I mean, 329 is what we spent last year. So, I mean, add another 65,000 to that is what our, you know, so we're going to hit 400,000 in utilities and we didn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there's, I think 8% is the only way to do it.
That's our goal. If it doesn't work out, well, we'll be looking for ways to make it work, but that's our goal.
So, how do we expect Donna's office or the collector or the assessor or what are they going to do? 8%.
I think most of them will do exactly what you would do, and that is they're going to try to do that. But if they say that they can't, they're going to come back with what they really feel like is the very bare minimum. Now, I may be wrong, but I think that's what most of them will do. And it's probably more difficult for the smaller departments than it is the larger departments, I think. If you've only got four employees and you got a small department, small expenses anyway, you cut 8% out, it's tougher for them.
Going back to your visit with sheriff and prosecutor,
mm-hmm.
did you get as far as what we're talking about now?
Mm-hmm.
Cuts?
I mean, once again, I mean,
because those were big.
Did you use bigger numbers though? Because you were thinking on the balance.
Well,
had you already figured that I was going to ask for?
Well, you originally said balanced budget.
Yeah.
And so that's what the message when I was meeting with them. That's the message I said, is that one commissioner, you know, Commissioner Strahan is trying to balance the budget, which is 1.6 million. I think I said 1.3, but you know, and that's when one of them volunteered that they thought two people may be retiring at the end of the year, and he thought that he wouldn't have to backfill. Well, those two employees in one of those departments makes the 8% up in one of those departments. I think the answer to your question back, Chuck, is I'm hoping that the elected officials and department heads know areas that they can cut, and you know they can cut without cutting services. It's one of those things we just don't know. I think the conversation at least is they're having that conversation. They're expecting the conversation, so that's good. They're thinking about it.
Like I said, I've had a lot of them come in and bring in ideas, and I do appreciate it. I think it's so they're already looking at it. I know that because they wouldn't be bringing me ideas if that wasn't the case.
Our assessor walked in. That brings up another question. Is our state through cutting there? Reimbursements?
We don't know. We've applied.
This year they have. I mean, they're done. But the budget's been signed.
We haven't got anything yet from them this year.
We haven't got anything, but our application's just been in, what, Rick, 2 weeks or less?
2 weeks, and Joanna did talk to Jim Kyle and gave me some information the other day, but, you know, it was one of those times when she was talking to me and I wasn't paying attention. Sorry.
Good, I'm glad she heard that. That's perfect.
She's not in here today, so she probably didn't hear it. Somebody will tell her.
Oh, I'll tell her. Don't worry about that, Rick. I'll make sure she gets it.
There's no reason to think that we wouldn't get it. I mean, I haven't received a compliance letter or anything. And other counties have. Many other counties have. But we did not receive one. So there's no reason not to expect that money to come. And last year, I know they waited until the 1st of October before they cut it back to from the 5 dollars to the four. That was in October before they did that. So I heard something about, I ought to walk down here because we're hearing about cuts of 8% or something. Am I hearing that correctly, or is that just something that's been?
It's all that birthday cake you had today, James. Hearing, it's his birthday, by the way, today.
29.
Yes.
We did mention an 8% cut to try to get to.
And where would that number be coming from?
Let me do it again, okay?
It's your turn.
Basically, James, in general county revenue this year, we actually are going to end up spending, if the budget continues the process it is, we're probably going to spend about $1.6 to $1.7 million more than what we bring in. Okay? That's operating expenses, not capital improvements, anything like that. You know, it's not where we worked on a building and made it better or where we've done something like that. That's operating expenses.
Well, so, where's, is the public getting false hope out there with the reports that's in the paper of a 10% increase over this time last year and all these reports of showing ups?
If they're not paying attention, they are, because right now the sales tax is not up but about, what, 2%? 0.2%, isn't it?
Yes, less than 0.5%.
So I don't know where you get the 10%
didn't
from.
Didn't I read in the paper of a 10% increase?
You must have read that was for 1 month.
1 month. 1 month, but the overall year date is
either that or it was reported inaccurately.
Well, like I say, I think the public needs to be explained that I didn't read it that way. And like I say, I'm a poor reader because I take a lot of things, seems like, different than others. And
I didn't read it, James, so I don't know, but I do know that
I
right now.
Last week or week before last paper?
Yeah. Year to date. Yeah. Year to date, we're up 0.2%. For 1 month, we were up 10%, but you see, year to date. Yeah, does that make sense to you? You understand that?
Yeah.
And we don't know, but normally we are better in the last half of the year, so we're hoping that maybe we may end up being a little bit up. And if we are, then that's better. But
well, the reason I say this, 8% is a lot.
Well, let me continue and show you where we got that.
Let me
show you where we got that from, because they would like to balance the expenses and the revenues, but to do that, we'd have to. I don't see us bringing in more revenue next year than what we are right now. I don't think that we're going to be able to project more unless something happens last part of the year and sales tax is way up. If sales tax is up 10% next year, I would, by the end of the year, I would guess that we might be able to predict more revenue. But basing it on the same amount of revenue, which I think would be reasonable right now, if we're going to cut out half of that monies that we spent out of our reserve, we cut out $0.8 million. To cut out $0.8 million out of our $14 million, you know, operating expenses is going to be at about 8%. That's where we got
that
from.
Well, just rough math, it could be as much as 2 employees in my office.
Yeah, we're hoping it doesn't boil down to employees at all. That's.
Well, I can't cut anywhere else because I've cut her to the quick. Nothing else can go.
And one thing James and Donna came up is that they've already cut where they can cut. We're hoping, and what Rick said was, we've got some larger departments that, you know, have bigger budgets. Maybe there's some area there. You know, what we're hoping is that they know what we're shooting for, and then we get the preliminary first draft budget back.
And look from there.
And we start from there. I mean, the thing is, you know, we're trying to get this thing to a balanced budget. Either we increase revenues or decrease expenses. And we're trying to get more revenues, but right now the expenses are, you know, I had the pleasure of sitting through an economics session with Robert Reich, who said the recovery is a 4-year process. So, I mean, we need to weather the storm for 4 years. What we have to do is what they're saying. So, I mean, with 4 years, we would eat through basically our entire balance if we don't do something. So we've got to do something.
But
I mean, the thing is, James, what we're asking people is cut wherever you can cut without cutting services. And if we aren't getting close, then we
have
start
to
going
find
back
something
and
else.
Try again.
Could I cash my 12-year-old copy machines in to get credit on that? I got 3 of them.
Thank you. There'll be a... something sent out to each elected official and department head that will the talk about retiring employees and different things, not replacement of, no replacement of retiring employees and different things will be sent out, so.
Do you guys want me to send anything out before? I mean, I will do a monthly budget report to all the elected officials, department heads on August, 1st of August, whenever I get to that, as soon as after the first of the month as I can. And probably then I may put something in there that the commission really is thinking that we're going to have to cut about 8%. But I won't ask for them to get back with me until September after, you know, September
1. Well, you might send an email out just recapping this meeting.
I can do
that. By
the
way, just because that's when everyone's going to be talking about this whole thing with the press here. I'm sure it'll be in the paper somewhere in there. And so if we can get ahead of it and say this is the mindset behind it, maybe even do the math calculations in the email so people know where we're coming from, just so we can get ahead of this, the firestorm of I don't have 8% to cut. I don't think we need to move any dates up, but just maybe that initial email will help ease some minds. Maybe not.
I can do that.
I'm looking here, Rick, and you don't have it with you, so. But I'm looking at 10 approved operating expenses, DCR.
Mm-hmm. And you don't, Chuck, make sure you're looking at the very bottom of the page about operating expenses, because
I think I am, because it says $14,687,000, and it shows $1,692,000.
Mm-hmm. You are.
Which is nearly $1,007,000 of reserve used. But I go back to the front page where your appropriation order is, and it shows estimated revenues at $13,692,000. That's only $1 million difference, right? Instead of 1.692.
Probably that the
on
the
I'm looking.
Probably, Chuck. Listen, on the first page, that estimated revenues includes some revenues that are not really. We shouldn't be including them as operating revenues. It includes grant money, things like that. Those shouldn't be considered as operating revenues. Is that making sense to you?
That revenue and expense balance out. So,
So if you look back on that back page where you were finding the 2010 expenses, look right above that a couple of lines, and you'll see revenues minus grants, something like that.
Okay, and I found it.
Yeah.
Total revenues less grants and bonds, 12.994.
Okay.
Right underneath that, then you have expenditures, less capital improvements, grants, and loans at $15,004,000.
Mm-hmm.
So is capital improvements the bond payment?
Actually, we actually budget a line for capital improvements. That's where we put the reserve that we have is in capital improvements. So it's in 114-50053, I believe, is our capital improvements line. And that probably is a combination of capital improvements, federal grants, and things like that. Does it say anything about maybe contingency fund, emergency fund also? Because that's something I take out. Those are not operating expenses either.
Well, you got that separate at $807,000.
Yeah. Okay.
The reason I said the 9.1 is when he sent us that fund balance document out, that's what it showed up there for. 9.1 million is what our balance was. Because, I mean, this mid-year glance, sometimes we have heavy expenses in the first half of the year and our revenues really don't show up until the second half of the year. So it's very possible that our fund balance may go up the second half of the year a little bit.
Chances are it will a little bit. But it just depends. It depends on what the revenues do. And
we've already spent two-thirds in the first half.
Right. So, I mean, we had heavy expenditures the first half of the year.
There's a lot of expenses that we have that we take out the first half of the year that
benefits and bond payments.
well, the bond payment's probably already got the big, there's two bond payments, I believe it goes in a semi-annual basis, and I think the big one's gone out, and there's a smaller one that goes out, I believe. You know, any vehicles we buy goes out the first part of the year. Our in my department, we pay for the audit, it's already paid for. So, I mean, there's a lot of things like that that are paid for in the first part of the year. And usually our revenues are a little more the second part of the year.
Going back to reserves.
I just trying to find that document. I can't find it. Okay.
Going back to figuring up what we want to have for a bottom, you know, rainy day fund. Somewhere I've heard a percentage of your total revenue. Do you all remember anything on that?
The emergency fund is required to be, I think it's 0.2% of your expenses, I believe. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I remember hearing that, but I'm talking about somebody threw out a figure once that a percentage of your budget would be something that you'd want for a rainy day fund. General accounting principle type thing. I don't know. Don't remember that. Gotcha.
I know what you're saying. I don't remember that percentage either.
I don't know that I've heard it. I mean,
2 years of bond payments doesn't seem out of line.
That's what I was thinking earlier when you mentioned bond payments, that we ought to plan for 2 years.
And then you've got, you know, $2 million for projects. And then I think you mentioned maybe $2 million for a rainy day fund. Because, you know, the $2 million for projects really is capital improvement
projects.
I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that adds up to $7 million. And it looks like if we do cut $800,000 out of a budget, we'll be at that number plus or minus. We'll be within $1 million of that number anyway without really picking a number. It's going to be forced upon us based off our spending habits.
I have a little question in my mind about capital, you know, setting $2 million there. We're talking about expanding services there while we're talking about cutting every place else. That doesn't seem to sit right. If we're going to budget for $2 million and I want to park
as
much as anybody, yeah. But when we have somebody like James come forward and say, what am I going to do? And I already asked the question before you got here. How the office is going to do that? But we're budgeting $2 million for
the
services.
Capital improvements is a lot more than $2 million. If you look at 114.50.053, it's a lot more than that because it's actually equal to the reserve that we have right now, or the reserve that I expect that I had in 2009. End of 2009, but we can carry that in, and I can put a line in there that says reserve fund if you want to. But you know, you guys have been okay with for 8 years carrying it as a capital improvement line and knowing that that is your reserve fund.
Right.
I can do it different if you like.
Well, that's not what I'm trying to say. As we're talking about figuring a bottom rainy day fund limit, and in that we're talking about keeping $2 million there for expanded services, capital additional buildings or parklands. It seems like we're scrimping over here, but we're adding money in over here to grow our government. I'm sure there'll be good things. I mean, there's lots of good things for our government to grow in. Parks is one of them, we think of. But if we're to the point of cutting,
again, it's your decisions when we do that. I know.
I'm talking to the commission, I guess. Well, we could ask. I need to call Andy Marmaget on another thing. He may have that kind of figure. Seems like he may be the one that popped it out one day.
He probably would be a good person.
Percentage of your.
He can probably tell you what other counties do because he does a bunch of counties as far as auditing them.
I cut you. You was going to say something. Forget it.
Well, people have to understand that if we don't do the cuts now, and this thing snowballs into something worse than what we anticipate, there'd be massive layoffs. And I don't want that, and I know none of the commission wants that, or no elected official wants that. But I, as they say, plan for the worst and hope for the best. And if we should operate on a balanced budget like everybody should operate on, including every facet of government, once we deficit spend for a year or two, I go getting nervous. And it's time to put a cutoff on it. And to do that, we have to take actions that...
I appreciate you being that way. I really do. I feel like, Danny, I honestly feel like that to some extent, the reason we had the deficit spend last year was not our own fault. I think it was probably as much as anything the state and the federal government. But we were expecting monies from them in different places, and we didn't get them. For example, the assessment fund, we felt like they were shorted there. In prison per diem, we felt like we were shorted there. Had those things been where they were supposed to be, where the state said they were going to be, then I don't think we'd have had nearly as much problems what we had. But for us to sit back and say, well, it wasn't our fault is the wrong thing to do. I think you need to...
And who knows where that's going to go.
Yeah.
I mean, so I think next right. year, if they cut it as much as they did this year.
Right.
So I'm just... I know who's going to take the brunt of things. Oh, yeah. And in the good years, I'm going to say it this way. We provided roads and services to the citizens that needed to be caught up on, that were a jail that was 10 years behind its time, road projects that were 10 years behind their time. Those kind of things are that we spent money on, that our infrastructure is not going to do anything but improve our capability of producing tax revenue. And I don't feel bad about any of the things that went on with our spending, but I do know that when you reach a certain point, that somebody has to bite the bullet, and now's the time for us to get to know it.
I agree.
My only reservation is we're fixing to wind this up, and we're putting out that figure for our other elected officials to go with. And if it's a good figure, great. And you got a point, Rick. If it comes in less, well, that's good too. But I hate to put... Since James is the only one left in here, I'll use his name. I hate to put James to the going back to his office and trying to figure out how to cut 8% when it comes in less than that. And again, he'll be happy with that, but I hate to put him through the 8% right now.
I'll say something first, a couple of things mentioned.
I'm not very good with numbers or anything, but I heard a reference back to the assessor's office and the loss of funding there, and I've been hearing that for quite a while. What the assessor's office lost last year was a drop in the bucket compared to the deficit spending. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're not talking numbers that's in relationship I think we all of a sudden see that we try to put that in relationship to deficit spending by the county and the loss of the funds that the state didn't provide the assessor's office. Assessor's office was provided 3/4 of what they was promised by the state last year. So the actual money that might not have come through the assessor's office that you guys was depending on might have been about an 8%. So I think we're getting a little out of line, and I know you have to talk about it, and I don't mind talking about it, but I think the numbers in relationship to the general public and to my office is not a true concept of what truly happened last year. And I believe I'm very I think we got a, I think we budgeted out of general revenue about $160,000 to finish up my office last year.
Everybody has that.
And I believe we collected from the state last year about probably $110,000 of that. So you're just looking at a small $50,000 in relationship to a $550,000 budget, where I'm thinking a lot of people are putting $250,000 that was lost 3 years ago in the lawsuit type thing to the same numbers, and it's not the same is all I'm trying to say to you. And I hope you can see that on paper when you look at actuals. And so the loss of the and the state automatically held $44,000 of that whenever they dropped the dollar parcel off. So.
James, I think probably I sounded bad to you. I didn't intend to. I don't think that there's been any problems as far as from your office that way. I just feel like the state has not done their job, not just in the assessor's office. That's just one example. They did cut the parcel number, parcel payment. You know, same thing in prisoner per diem. They've cut that, and they've actually asked us to handle more prisoners at a basically reduced cost. I think the state has put some expenses on us that shouldn't have been put on us, and I think without those expenses, I think we would be a lot closer to a balanced budget. Right. And not just the assessors, but all of those expenses
right.
totaled together.
I understand that, but the relationship I've had over the last 4 years, I think it gets out there, well, we've lost this $250,000 through the assessor's office last year, and that's not the true facts. Jim, you have there on revenue reimbursed from the state last year.
That's what I'm looking for right now. I mean,
his number is 355 at the bottom if you go to 355.
One thing I was going to point out while James was talking is we projected better revenues from the state on the assessor and the prisoner, and we're going to fall short on revenues too. So,
well, one place we can cut right off the bat is 2 years ago, because we had such a heavy load on P&Z and Board of Adjustment and Sewer Board and all those things, we went from $20 to $40 on their payment, and we can cut that back in half where it was at. The load on those particular offices has more than cut in half, and so that'd be the first place that I would look to cut those things out. They receive mileage, and actually I don't think nobody comes for what the money is anyway, so we could cut those out, and over a year's time, that's going to be a pretty good chunk of dollars. And then the service that they provide is greatly appreciated. But whenever they volunteer for those board positions, they don't volunteer because of the dollars that they're going to be making.
I agree with that part of it. I don't know if I agree with cutting it, but something we can look at. All right. Reviewing the, are there anything else that we talked about TIF, for instance, and that it's probably going to be about the same?
That's what.
Taken out, is there other things that I've mentioned, prisoner per diem, and we think it's at the 19, or is there
1958.
Is there other things that we need to, that are out there that we know about that we haven't talked about?
The three biggest ones I know is the assessment fund, which looks like we were getting what? We were getting $4.99 or $5 a parcel. Now we're getting $4 a parcel, which is a 20% reduction in reimbursements from that. A 10% reduction basically in this prisoner per diem from 21 to 19. That's $2, yeah, that's 10%. And then we know there's a 20% increase going to be for our utilities next year.
You mentioned something about having to take more prisoners or something. Was there something out there about prisoners that we haven't been...
There was a state legislation that was passed that Class C and Class D felons at the state level will be sent down, can be sent down to the county jails. And those guys are not required, the state's not going to pay for the medical part of that.
Oh, the meds.
So what we would do is pick up the additional expense, because by statute we have to provide the medical.
They're still going to pay us $19.58.
Yes.
But not in medical.
Right. So our expenses on those prisoners will go up. And we're encouraging them to keep them in Jeff City or wherever they want to keep them. But yes, those are the ones that I've heard of and made note of as of this point.
I think I'm remembering you speak at Legislative Affairs one time. You rattled off a bunch of that stuff that's fresh on your mind.
Yeah.
What else?
Oh, that thing is funny.
That's all I want to bite off this afternoon.
It's raining, by the way, Danny, and your windows are down in your truck.
Good.
Mine are down. Is it raining?
It's raining.
Wash it out.
I'm going to roll them up just real quick here.
Okay, we've got transportation board here in 30 minutes or so, right?
3 o'clock.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Recess?
Recess, yes.
Here, you want to keep that, or you want me to keep
it? Yeah, I'll throw it in the trash paper. It's
not right anyway.
Thank you.
Right. I appreciate that.
Yeah, it's all right.
I'm going to make some copies of that. Thank you, sir.
Well, I better keep it.